KSL at night. KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my new bestie, Rusty Cannon, and we are talking about all the interesting things that are happening. Now, Rusty, I feel like you might not have heard all of our shows on KSL at Night. So do you know what you can do?
No.
You can go back and find the podcast.
Oh, I do know that.
Every show that has ever been aired, and you can listen to it, do a deep dive. And I would argue, like, over the years that we've been doing this, sometimes these are long conversations, right? So we've kind of been doing these things for a couple of years. So what you do is you go to kslpodcast.com or really anywhere that you download podcasts, whatever app you use, just look up KSL at Night and you can get it like single segments. You can pick your favorite co-host, which I'm sure is Rusty Cannon. You can also download a whole show, right? Like you can listen to it.
That's right. You gave me a total softball question and I just whiffed. You asked me, I should know that. And I just absolutely, that was a swing and a miss.
And I would tell you, I've been doing this for 2 years and right out of the gate, one of the things we talked about a lot was Ukraine, right, Rusty? So 2 years ago, a little bit more than 2 years ago, is when Russia decided to invade, right? And so we've been talking about Ukraine a lot. And just for everyone who's maybe not paying attention, recently this week, maybe last week, I'm not even sure what day it is.
It was last week.
The funding package to get some aid from the United States to Ukraine passed. I want to just tell you, I'll be honest with you and say, for me, it feels like a no-brainer. Like, I kind of feel like if Ukraine's invaded by Russia, we are supposed to do something about it.
Well, it depends on your perspective, right? You know, the U.S. being the globe's policeman, that kind of thing. It's a long conversation. But what I wanted to talk about tonight was some interesting facets of this recent bill that are completely misunderstood, right? We have a saying when we work up on the state capitol on legislation. Ours is tax legislation usually, obviously. But, you know, read the bill. Know what's in the bill. You've got to know what's in the bill. And there has been some serious, I would say, mischaracterizations of this Ukraine funding that I didn't even know until I started looking into this. I mean, so $96 billion in the package.
Pause right quick before you get to that. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a reason why people don't understand it? Like, do you think there is just we're not paying attention or there's other things going on? Or is this some malice afoot? Like some people are kind of misleading people
about
it?
Well, I don't know if it's malice, but it's marketing, right? You know, and I can't understand why some in Washington have not been more strident in talking about what we're about to talk about.
Okay, so go. Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No problem. So it's $96 billion package. 77% of it, about $73 billion, stays in the United States. And we'll talk about why. So you know, the Ukraine portion of the bill was about $48 billion, but the overall was $96 billion. So the problem that we have in sending all of this weaponry out to Ukraine is that our stocks are diminished. So here's an example. We have sent Ukraine more than 10,000 Javelin missile systems. Those are shoulder-fired. They're anti-tank missiles, right? It's fascinating to watch. They actually come out of the launcher. They go up in a big arc and then hit the tank from the top. And that's why they're so destructive. We've sent them 10,000. So guess how many we were going to order for next year based on Biden's budget?
I don't know. 10,001? No,
nope. Good.
Yeah.
541. 500.
Yeah, that's
it would take
a lot.
Us 20 years to replenish just what we've sent to Ukraine. So they pour billions into that and replenishing. So we're replenishing our own Javelin supplies, meaning if we get in a hot mess, we are going to need those. And that's part of it. Similarly.
So pause right there. Let me just kind of ask a question. Because I do feel, so I started this by saying, to me, it feels like a no-brainer. We're supposed to be, like you said, global. We're a global leader. We should be stepping in. But I feel like I want to respect the other side of the argument has been, I think, like America first, right? That we should be spending money in America. But what I hear you saying, Rusty, is it sounds
we are
like we're getting both, like it's a win-win.
Yeah. So it depends on the perspective. But I think the perspective that's been missed is that this is largely this bill, this one, for U.S. replenishment. Another one, we were going to next year, the artillery shells, the 155 millimeter, those are the ones that are typically your artillery shells. We were going to spend $150 million to replenish those. That's a peacetime pace. Instead, we're going to put $5.9 billion into replenishing. We've given them all away. And then in addition, you know, Humvees, the old Humvees that, you know, went along when Schwarzenegger was famous for driving one down the street when they first came out.
Yeah.
You remember that was like the 1980s, right? Those are very, very old. That's what we've sent off. Those are being now replaced by what is called the JLTV, which an acronym like everything in the military. So we're sending those off. We'll now replenish with the newer vehicle. Then you have M113 armored personnel carriers. That's like a tank, but it carries the troops where they come in and out the back, right? So guess how old those, some of those that we've sent there were used in Vietnam. They've been sitting in warehouses for 50 years. So those are the types of things we're sending there, and we replace it with the new version. There's a Bradley fighting vehicle. That's same type of thing, but it's got a turret on top. The version we're sending them, those came into service in 1988. And we're now replacing it with the A3 version after sending that out to Ukraine. So those types of things are getting serious upgrades. Then we heard about the Patriot missiles they've taken down drones, glide bombs, and even hypersonic missiles in Ukraine. What we've been sending them is the PAC-2 version, which was made in the 1980s. 40-year-old technology we're sending. It still works. But now we then upgrade ours to the PAC-3 system. Which is more modern. So those types of things come into play, and everybody's missed out on this in this bill. And there's an interesting article written by somebody at AEI, the American Enterprise Institute, as well, where this has been branded as a foreign aid bill, but that is not the reality. The benefit of this bill is that we're kickstarting or restarting our own supplies that have been diminished. And you know, this issue even came to light in this past week with the Republican convention here in Utah, candidates or people running for office complaining about the votes or certain endorsements happening, those kinds of things, where this bill is widely misunderstood. And I'm shocked that nobody has really been talking about this.
Or messaging it better.
Yeah.
One of the things I thought was interesting in the material we were reading was about 71 U.S. cities are going to be producing these weapons. Mm-hmm. It comes through 31 states. So it's not just like what you just said. It's not just replenishing these stockpiles, which matters, mm-hmm. but it's also the economic development of those communities, right? Because the people who work, I mean, think of like if Hill Air Force Base wasn't funded, what happens to Layton, right? Like
not, certain, good.
Not good.
Yep.
So the answer is what you have is all of these communities, like in Alabama, where we've got Bay Systems, they're going to produce those Javelin missiles you're talking about.
Yeah.
Those are jobs.
They are. Yes. Well, not only that, but we're replenishing our systems, right? It's easy in peacetime for us to think and we get complacent and say, well, everything's okay. Why do we need more missiles? Why do we need more tanks? It is not hard to imagine a scenario in today's world where we are in a fight and where these type of things need to be replenished and need to be replaced. And I think it's unwise to just not think about these types of things and the reality of it. And it gets to a little bit to the dysfunction in DC, but also just to how things are talked about, to where I think there was a missed opportunity from many back in Washington to correctly, I don't want to use the word market, but correctly explain this bill. It just, everybody missed it. It's just, we all think we're writing a big old check and just sending it over to Ukraine, which is not the case.
And let me ask you another question too, and maybe you don't know, so I beg your pardon if I'm putting you on the spot,
sure.
But like, doesn't it kind of make sense to clear out stockpiles that
it
are
does.
From the Vietnam
yeah.
War?
Yeah.
And really, to a certain, it's kind of like, you know, you should always be reusing, repurposing, right, things.
Correct.
So instead
yeah.
of just throwing them away or like blowing them up mm-hmm. somewhere, they go out into the world, they do a good thing, they're defending democracy, and right, then we mm-hmm. are upgrading.
Yeah.
Right, that's got to be true.
It gets so there's a term used in the military world called survivability, like meaning if we send our folks across the lines, so to speak, whether it's in an airplane or a tank or whatever the case, you want them to come back.
Right.
You want them to survive. If you have 50-year-old technology, 50-year-old tanks, armored personnel, they are not coming back. You know, in today's world, we see the destruction and how destructive today's battlefield is. You have to have survivability. I think we would all agree as Americans that if we get in a fight, we want to win.
Right.
I don't think anybody would not want to do that. And so this has just got lost in this conversation where it just became a bit of a political slugfest on the bill. And it's just too bad that it's devolved to that.
No. And I think it's so interesting too, because the other thing I want to say, which feels very pro-American, so mm-hmm. I beg your pardon, but like if Ukraine can beat Russia mm-hmm. with stuff from the Vietnam War, doesn't it also signal to the world like our military dominance just a little bit?
It absolutely does. Not only that, this was about 3% of our budget on defense, and we've hammered Russia with it. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Rusty, next up on KSL at Night, the Chad Daybell murder trial picked back up this week. KSL News Radio's own Amy Kobabe is up there in the courtroom. We're going to have a conversation with her about the latest developments in this case. Stay with us.